This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Spencer German potato salad on something over the weekend. I didn't think I would.
Well, Andy prefaced it. Am I telling tales?
Said it was the worst take of the weekend on the station.
When the boss is coming in ranking the takes, we should add Andy Roth power ranked the worst takes of the weekend.
I got the music. Let's go, Andy. Get down here.
He's got to get down here.
You put the bat signal on. He's going to come trotting down here.
But he has to do worst takes of the weekend.
Oh,
it has to be worst takes of the weekend.
Here he comes.
Hold on.
I told you. Hit the music. There we go.
Power rank him, Andy. Worst takes of the weekend.
Here we go. Hit it. Hit the mic.
Lima for not showing up.
Oh, on Friday.
Well,
I gotta
the best
go.
Thing is, the best thing is,
that's it, he's out.
So we had the one thing on Friday, which, by the way, it took 90 minutes because we had like 40 people there. I had no idea how many people worked at this station. There was a lot of people there, Tone. And let me just say this before we get back to the cabs, because it's great. So I show up. And I'm there at about 10:20. And we're painting a fence at the Metro Parks. It's a whole group's there. And Big Tom, you know, Big Daddy's like, hey, where's Tone? I'm like, he's home with the kids, you know, things like that. And I gave you the excuse. I said, yeah, I had to go home, baby Izzy, you know, Mace Dog, the whole deal. And it got brought up again in front of one of our other bosses, and Keith was right there. And I go, well, you know, he's not there. Well, Peterlin was standing right next to us. And I swear to God, Peterlin goes, I have an infant at home. I'm here. And they're
no
like, yeah.
Peterlin passed.
And they go, yeah, Peterlin was there till midnight last night. I go, oh my God, that's right.
They painted the whole neighborhood.
We're painting this fence at the Metro Parks, and I'm making this excuse for him. Peterlin's like, I got a baby at home. I'm here.
Wax on, wax off.
Immediately, one of the salespeople goes, he was here till midnight last night. Where the hell's Lyman? That's no excuse. I went, oh,
This is where you realize when you don't have babysitting, it really does mess with everything. And in this case, it messed with our big volunteer work.
Yeah, but it was good. I enjoyed my time. Kelly on Q104 did a tremendous job with that. She heads up that event. She's put out the pictures on social media. Because I was later, I didn't show up right on time because we had the show, and then I had to talk to Andy about some things, and Andy and I were working to get out of here and go there. I got stuck with one of the small rollers, and it looked odd. I looked like a defensive lineman with a quarterback face mask. Like, as everybody else is holding a regular roller, and then I'm standing there with one of the small rollers. And I'm like, well, at least I don't have one of these, like, little brushes, because there were a couple guys with, like, I'm like, you're not going to be able to do anything.
Got to get all the nooks and crannies.
We got it done. Slats was going very fast. He went down to the other end so he could smoke. Also, we kind of had to, because he was basically taking like one roll and that was it. So there was a lot of bare spots there.
You said there was 40. Why not everyone just walk down in the line?
Like you're doing a search.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it got done quick. And then everybody else ate hot dogs. I went home. I did not eat any of the hot dogs. Sorry. But it was a good time. Almost as good a time as the Cavs playoff win over the Orlando Magic. How's that for a transition for you?
Where's the music? Where is the music?
Lime is literally excited, everybody. There are a lot of people accusing you of being a fraud today, which I actually don't agree with.
I know.
He's pushing my buttons as strong as he possibly can.
Is it because I was, because I did see some people over the weekend say, oh, Lima is going to pretend like he cared about this team when he was trashing them all year?
Because you were.
Yeah, there were times I was critical.
You were, but I think that you're probably hitting on a nerve with some people. I know you've hurt on a nerve with me.
I mean, I think through every year, is there ever a year where you're not critical of a team at all the entire year? Are there any years where you're just, and if you're not getting paid by the team, like I understand.
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying there are people in town when you're paid by the team. You have to say nice things about the team all the time. What I'm talking about is there ever just a magical season? Like, think about the Cavs the year they won the championship. That was a tough year. There were tough stretches in a regular season where we're like, is this team ever going to – I mean, they fired the coach.
They fired the coach
that year. So, I mean, think about the best Browns year you can remember ever. What would you say – what, the Baker 2020, the playoff year? They got their act together that second half of the year. Baker was pretty incredible. There were tough stretches during that year where we didn't know. We didn't know if they'd even make the playoffs.
True. 216-474-0092. Nick in Cleveland. Hello, Nick.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
I was out and about yesterday watching the Cavs game, and there was actually so much juice for the game, way more than I thought there would be. And everybody that I know, everybody that I hang out with, we are always grateful when there's a playoff appearance. From the first bucket made yesterday at the game, people were screaming. It was almost annoying a little bit, but people were screaming from the first bucket made until the very end. Everybody that I know is grateful for every playoff appearance, but also critical of the teams when it needs to be. And nobody I know was happy about that Browns playoff dud last year. So that's what I've seen. I don't know where the,
I just wasn't mad. I don't think anybody was happy with it. Stay with me for a second, Nick. I don't think anybody was happy. I just wasn't mad. I was like, all right, we turned into a pumpkin here sooner than later. It happens. And then honestly, I do think that, you know, I think you could accuse the Browns, not you, but Tone as well, of just like, I think you could accuse us of being Pollyanna if Joe Flacco were coming back and being the starter. I think there has been a clear line in the sand where, okay, he's gone. Now we move on with Deshaun Watson. Well, people had questions about Deshaun Watson and the football team when he was the quarterback. So those questions are just going to arise again in a season where you need to put up or shut up. I think it's natural. Go ahead, Nick.
I mean, there's always going to be lingering questions, and you're right. Yeah, he was going to turn into a pumpkin sooner rather than later. But I was watching that game in Mexico, and 3 minutes into the third quarter, I turned it off. I was done. It was just no point. And I had a great rest of the day.
You talking about that Browns game?
The disappointment. Yeah.
See, that's where we're different, and I thank you very much for the call. I made sure to watch the whole thing, whether I liked it or not. I was like, well, I never know if they're going to go back, so I might as well just – I'm disappointed, and it's not thrilling to see them get hammered like this, but I'm going to watch this whole thing. And then a buddy of mine sent a picture of his dog humping a pillow right in front of the television. Probably the most thrilling part of the afternoon for that family. Is it just the Magic? Lyman and I were thrilled to start the show off.
We
were thrilled. Is it just the Magic?
I thought it sounded loud. I thought it sounded hype for those fans that were there. And it turned out to be a great sports day all the way around because the Guardians were at 6 o'clock. And I was coming in. Mm-hmm. I dropped the wife off at her brother's 40th birthday party. So she got to go to the Guardians game. And, you know, she said still a bunch of Cavs fans milling around. So that was good. I was definitely glad to see that because I did wonder, based on last week, I did wonder how pumped people would even be. Now, I did get plenty of reaction, and probably I've sparked some of this too. Hey, it's just the Magic. It's just Orlando. Big deal. Had they have played this team or this team or this team or this team, they'd have been in trouble. I kind of think that proves a lot of what Kobe Altman and that strategy. We've never really heard who the strategy came from about Game 82 and what they were going to do in that game. We knew going into the game there was going to be no Donovan Mitchell. Darius Garland was questionable. He didn't end up playing. And then obviously they took everybody off the floor in the middle of the game in the fourth quarter to the chagrin of many that were there. But I understood it because they didn't want to have to risk going up against potentially Joel Embiid and Philadelphia. What a great game that Philly and the Knicks were over the weekend. They didn't want to go up against Jimmy Butler. Now, of course, Jimmy Butler's injured, so it's a different story, but you wouldn't have known that, obviously, and they wouldn't have been played in the playing game to begin with.
Let me pour this foundation first. I was excited with how they played. I was excited with their effort. Obviously, it's a playoff game, so there's going to be effort, but I was excited with, I should say, their toughness. Now, I started off the show with the most basic of things that I could possibly write at the beginning of the game on Saturday, but it's still the basic thing where, you know, Paolo Banchero is easily their best player. I mean, they got other talented players. Jalen Suggs, a talented player and a good defender. But he's only 21, and I think that that's going to be the difference. Yeah. Is everything's going to have to be run through him. Well, you got guys that you can count on. I think that they're going to find out that Franz Wagner is probably not a guy for their long-term goals. Do you disagree with that? Maybe you disagree
Boy,
with that.
He struggled mightily.
You look at the box score, it doesn't look terrible, but he struggled, I thought.
A lot of garbage points.
Yeah, okay.
Once that game was
so
like
you're with me on that.
15 to 20.
So, because I wrote that there in the notes. There's a lot of good, solid stuff that I just liked. I liked that they were so ice cold to the point of 17 straight missed threes. They were counting it during the broadcast, and they decided, you know what? Then they still shot 33s or attempted 33s. But they're still lower. They almost averaged 37 a game. I go back and look. In the regular season, they averaged almost 37 a game. So they stopped kind of forcing the issue a little bit.
They got to the free throw line.
They got open looks. They just couldn't do it. And I thought that exactly what you said. They got to the free throw line. They drove. They got the buckets. I thought the fouls were good fouls. I thought they committed smart, hard fouls. I thought they were chippy when they needed to be chippy. I thought that they were there to assert dominance. Guys, there's a lot about this team that I loved. However, you talk about the overall goal. I think that's what people are trying to say here. If it were just game 82, God, I hate going over game 82 again. Here we are. If it were just game 82, which there's a lot of sound reasoning you make of, guys, you had no Donovan Mitchell for most of the second half. You had no Evan Mobley for part of the second half. Darius Garland's been battling injuries, getting slapped in the face, and God knows what. People demanding satisfaction.
His back. He came
now, his
in.
His back is injured.
They mentioned the back, and he was laboring at times in the third quarter.
Visibly. But I'll tell you this. When you say, well, they did that for a reason, I think that people get upset because it's like, you did this just for a first-round series? Like, if you did it for the greater good. Like, I used to make that big argument. Remember Dan Dockich was on, and he was upset that LeBron sat out again. I think it was Memphis, and that kid had the sign. And I'm thinking, I feel bad for you, son, but we got to do what we got to do. I got a generational player here. We got to win. We got to do it because it was before we won the championship, before we won the finals. I needed load management. I needed to argue for it. If it were that for the greater good of winning a championship, going to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think fans would be just about 100% on board with it. But if you're telling me that's my only goal, when you did trade a whole lot for him, is just to get past that first round, boy, that seems to be aiming really low for a lot of fans here. When they're used for, because it's not been that long since LeBron, and he's still a player in the NBA, we used to aim for the greatest prize after we gave up a lot for these players. And I think that's tough for a lot of fans to accept.
Yeah, and I'm trying to watch these games just one at a time because, look, if I'm just thinking long-term, I mean, they have Boston in the next round if they win. They're probably going to lose. Everybody
but
will pick them to
but
lose.
I can be a more open-minded by that
yeah,
time.
I'm not going to let that rob me of any joy that I'm getting, you know, in this series potentially, especially for it being, hopefully, fingers crossed, the breakthrough series. It is why I was excited against, I knew they were going up against a really physical, a good defense, a solid defense, really the best defense in the NBA, I think, after the All-Star break. And I knew it was not going to be easy. You're going to see some ugly possessions. You're going to see some really ugly sequences. And we saw that. Darius, Max Strus, you know, ball handlers for the Cavs had some issues, not named Donovan, had some issues with, you know, a lot of that, with their length. And they can really get down, disrupt you on the crossover. Like, they can get at it. They're diving on the floor. You're going to turn the ball over in this series. It's going to happen. But I saw enough good that I'm like, this is what I was looking for. Darius and Evan to have some of those moments. We know what Donovan can do, especially if he's healthy and he looked closer to being healthy. It's not 100%.
Yeah.
Maybe 70. Do you have him at 70%? I know that lift isn't necessarily
70,
there.
75, I'm hoping. And I'm probably being generous. There's probably someone driving in who knows him personally and thinks I'm stupid for saying that.
But
he's probably at 50.
I saw some things that would help me focus on a lot of the things that we were talking about. Would there be those breakthroughs? And I think we're starting to see a little bit of it. And look, it's not going to be. They could sweep the Magic and they're going to go, whatever. They picked the Magic. The Magic are terrible. Yeah, this is part of the reason. They would rather play the Magic than the Miami Heat. Than the Philadelphia 76ers.
I don't think they're terrible. I think they have a bright future ahead of them. I think that they're going to be a problem here over the next coming years. I really do. Paolo Banchero is obviously a great player. We might know a little bit more because we follow Jake Chapman and everything down there in Orlando. So we might know a little bit more about them than we would a couple of other opponents out there. But if they were to lose to a team that has a bright future ahead of them, then obviously you're hitting every panic button in the world. If you take care of this series, which I think you can now, I think that it buys you a little bit more understanding. It doesn't mean that they can just run everything back or they should run everything back. I don't know if they're going to have a choice to do that. But it's also where you look at things and go, okay, now I can start to see a little bit of the forest for the trees. And we don't need to go crazy on each other. Was it just the Magic? 216-474-0092. We'll get to you guys on that. And apparently I agree with the worst take of the weekend on The Fan. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live on The Fan. I'm told I agree with the worst take on The Fan this weekend. That coming up in here just a moment. Remember, Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin, they have Deshaun Watson's offseason program that they're focusing on and Cleveland Browns Stadium during the new episode of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. It's sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. I just remembered I was going to ask him whether or not Greg Newsom should be traded, and I forgot because you and I and Daryl got in a big fight during Daryl's hit at 8 o'clock today. Remember, subscribe now at 923thefan.com or on the Odyssey app, or which is free, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's absolutely wonderful. Also, remember, all guests appear on that North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So, apparently, Spencer had said, and Andy came in, like Andy just thought it was a terrible take. Spencer had said that you can't wear a jersey as someone younger than you. Someone who was wearing a Caitlin Clark jersey. Tim McGraw was wearing a Caitlin Clark jersey at his concert. Which, I mean, there was something where Luke Combs wore a jersey of another team, and apparently he's a big Panthers fan. And I'm like, a lot of musicians do that when they're out on tour. You know, put on a jersey of some team that that's the local team or something like that. Like, they all do
that. Well, usually in the arena, the team will give them.
Yes. You know, that too.
That happens a lot over here.
So it seems to kind of go with that, and that, you know, whatever. That's what you do. But I did. I got to tell you. Now, I'm not a jersey guy. I'm not a jersey guy, Tone.
It's not a jersey show.
It's not a jersey show. But I do agree. I felt weird admitting I was a Josh Naylor fan without ever meeting him. So I definitely wouldn't wear a jersey as someone younger than me.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with what you're saying. I also agree with you that I think it's a bad take from the boss. It is a weird thing as we've gotten older, obviously. And I don't know how old Spencer is. He's pretty young.
He's like 30.
Close to 30, I think, or 30 now.
So
he's got a kid.
I mean,
he's a pup.
You know, he's in that range where, you know, more and more guys, obviously, every day are going to be younger than him, but there's still guys that are going to be older than him too. I don't think you'll ever see me. I don't know when I'll ever wear a jersey again, period.
Right.
I don't. Yeah. I think I'm out of it.
Same thing, but 100%. Now if you are a jersey guy and this is a rule, then you just can't wear jerseys anymore because every athlete is younger than you.
They're all going to be younger.
Yeah, but I think, don't you kind of age out of wearing jerseys?
Or
if you're, like, I've seen very few older men wear.
I did. Lima did, because we weren't ever really jersey. I had jerseys when I first joined the military, and you have a little disposable income. I'm like, what do you spend it on? It was the early 2000s. I bought jerseys. People were doing it then. I couldn't find myself. I haven't gotten rid of any of them. They're in a storage. I should probably just get rid of them.
You got to put them out on social media. We got to see them.
They're Oklahoma jerseys. You guys don't.
Still doesn't matter. It's still
a flash. Frame them.
Still Tommy Harris.
In the past. Put them in the man cave.
Adrian Peterson.
I have buddies who, I got my one, there's this one guy, Josh, I know from back home. I mean, he's got to have 100. He's got, whether it be basketball, the NFL, he's got to, I mean, LeBron alone, he has to have 30 jerseys. He's got to have 200 for crying out loud.
Now, are they the real ones? Are they the real ones?
Not authentic $300 jerseys.
Did he buy them on the way through the airport and then change someone's life forever?
No, okay. He did not do that. I have no idea. I don't follow him wherever he makes his jersey purchases, but he's got a lot of different jerseys. I thought it was weird for me because, again, Josh Naylor is 10 years younger than me. And I felt weird saying I'm a big Josh Naylor fan without ever meeting him because I'm like, oh, you're 10 years younger than me.
Like I remember when you say that, if the first time you meet him, will you get that butterfly feeling
I don't know. I think that's
like
weird.
When Ian Eagle comes on the show and you still stammer because you can't talk to
but
him because he's wanting
to. Yeah, but I've been listening to Ian Eagle since I was a kid.
Right.
So if I were to have, like, it just feels weird for me to fan out for somebody who's so much younger than me. And so that's why I was a little bit hesitant to go, man, I love Josh Naylor. But I'm like, well, I do. I'm a big fan of his.
Now, I do have a Joe Thomas t-shirt, right?
Okay.
I think it's the...
Like a jersey or a t-shirt with Joe Thomas on it.
Because there's so many t-shirt companies, and it finally made him cool and form-fitting.
Now, see, I feel like that was my natural transition from being Jersey guy, is I do own a lot of, especially...
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Guardians, Indians players with them on the front, Jose and my, like three Michael Brantley ones.
That's, to me, the Joe Thomas one is
it's iconic now, right?
It qualifies for a brown shirt.
Well, we're kind of getting into the weeds on this one because I'll
Spencer German potato like salad. You something wore, over the weekend, I didn't think I would.
What Andy about. Prefaced it.
And you had like a Joe Thomas like
take of the weekend
homage, like we cartoon had, like, jersey or a shirt.
How many people worked at this?
If you were just out and about and wore that, or to like a Browns event. No big deal. If you were out and about with Joe, like if we went to an event with him and you were wearing that,
it's great.
It might be a little weird.
So I show up.
Like we got the Kevin Stefanski event coming up here in June. I'm not going to wear like a Kevin Stefanski shirt.
We're painting a fence at the Metro Park.
Right?
It's a whole group there.
I think he'd feel it's a little bit odd.
Big Tom.
And he's older than me. I could. Joe's older than me too. So I mean, but still.
Like on Friday, if we would have been wearing that when he came in to do the interview with us.
Yeah, it'd have been a bit much. I don't know, man. I do feel now. I don't even know if I could ever meet Josh Naylor. I don't think I want to.
Set it up.
No, because I don't want to feel weird.
I'm have him come in. And bring a boa constrictor.
I don't want to be like. Well, that would be terrifying. I don't want to be like Kathy Bates in Misery. I don't want to go up to him and be like, "I'm your biggest fan." I don't know why. It's a very weird peccadillo with me. I'm sure there's got to be people who agree with me about this. Like, I remember when Liz was pregnant with Jonah. I'm not kidding you. She wanted to name that kid Baker. And I looked at her and I said, I know it's supposed to be your call since I named the first two. I'm going to tell you right now, ain't a chance in hell you're naming that baby Baker. And this was like things were riding high with Baker. The whole thing, everybody was loving Baker Mayfield. And she was pregnant with Jonah and she was like, I like that name. And I go, there's not a chance in hell. And she says, why? I go, I have to interview that guy. I'm not sitting across the table from him having named my kid. I'm 9 years older than he is. I'm not naming my kid after him.
What if
everybody will know that?
What if he had won a Super Bowl? Does that change?
No, it doesn't change. It doesn't change. It's the same business. No. Weird. Everybody thinks that my oldest son is named after Brian Hoyer. I can't do that.
What about your dog?
Dogs are a little different. You can name dogs whatever you want to name them. Robert and Parma, you're first up on the fan. Hello.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Not much. Go ahead.
I used to be a big Jersey guy as a kid. Thought they were really cool. Then I kind of phased out. But when I was in college, that was the thing. You wore the jersey to like the day drink, which I don't know where that came from. My solution now: throwbacks only. For the Cavs, I got Austin Carr. For the Browns, I got Joe Thomas.
But those guys are they older than you? Is Joe older than you?
They're older than me.
Okay, yep. So I think it still still goes. Like I meet guys with Browns jerseys, and they're like Jim Brown jersey or Joe DeLamalore or something like that. Like that's
I love that stuff. Stick with that. I like that.
All right, Robert, thank you very much for the call. Like I gotta agree with Spencer, man. I really do, Tone. Jim in Strongsville. Hello.
I think Josh Naylor, I think he goes beyond just your normal sport. I mean, that's almost like getting a jersey from a movie. I just think he's like the Chevy Chase, you know, hockey jersey.
Did you say Chubby Naylor Chase or Chevy Chase?
I said Chubby, but I know it's Chevy.
Okay.
Listen to my real point.
I'm down with both.
I think we were wrecked. I think we were wrecked with the LeBron era to where we're nitpicking now. Like, oh, it's just the first round. Look, I mean, you win any series in the NBA, it's a big deal. Just because we were spoiled with LeBron, where it was like, okay, it's going to be boring till the finals, doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy it. It's like everybody right now waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Guardians. Enjoy it while they're winning. I don't care who they're playing. You got to play who you play. We're just always looking for the reason to be miserable.
It is in the back of my – hold on, Jim. I got to tell you, it is in the back of my mind. Like, I don't want to sit there as ugly as it got about the Cavs last week, right? I don't want to sit there and not take advantage of, hey, we're in the playoffs. I should be excited we're in the playoffs. But I also know, there's people who are like, there are fans out there. They won't call in, and I don't want to hear from them, who do want them to lose. And the reason they want, and when you would say they're just not fans, they would say they want what's best for their team, and they think that this is going to be a mess or this isn't where it needs to go, so they want them to lose to make sure that JB won't be here, maybe Kobe won't be here, and other guys won't be here. My authorization, or my thought of that, is when you authorize that type of thought, you also have to remember that if they were to do that, then you're probably blowing some things up, and you ain't going back to the playoffs next year. So I got to take it while I can.
I think JB's gone any – I don't think that guy could – he'd have to go to the finals to save his job. I don't think he's coming back. And I think the organization knows they need to make changes. I think you're right when you say that, like, if they lose out in this first round, that's the worst-case scenario because that's the nuclear option.
Because I think we'll overreact.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
I think the organization – Jim, thank you very much for the call. Like, the owner – I think Dan Gilbert's the perfect owner for every general fan out there in America. He's a billionaire, like him, Steve Ballmer. These guys are billionaires, and they're fans of their team. But also because they're fans of their team, they're prone to making emotional mistakes and emotional decisions. Like, hey, as much as you want to rip on a lot of guys, like you want to go after Paul Dolan, you want to go after Jimmy Haslam, they're owners of their sports teams. You are more within your right to do well within your right to do that. I think one guy definitely had to learn over the last how many years to not make emotional decisions. I think the other guy will do everything he can because he's a lawyer to never make an emotional decision. And because of that, I think that they have, for better or for worse, have put their teams in pretty decently advantaged positions at times. Now, I know saying good things about Paul Dolan is a strong thing to do because if he doesn't bring back Josh Naylor, I'm going to be heartbroken. That's why I don't want to meet Josh Naylor because I don't want to say these things in front of him because it's probably weird because he's 10 years younger than me. But you get what I'm saying.
Although the Haslam thing's interesting. Are we giving him credit for what happened over there in Milwaukee with Doc Rivers and firing the coach very early on this season? Does that count?
He gets the credit for that?
No, I'm saying. We talked about Jimmy Haslam not being over-emotional or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I don't think
but
that
what happened there in Milwaukee?
He's not the principal owner, though.
He kind of is the guy that he's getting more and more when I hear people talk about the NBA that he is like the guy in Milwaukee.
Well, he might be. I mean, I guess it.
Which is so weird.
Well,
when you really think about it.
Yeah, but to see the way the players were.
Have you thought about that? Like what it would be like if the Cavs had to play Milwaukee in the first round? If that would have been the case or like the second round? It's not going to happen, obviously, this year now. What would that be like?
You know, no, I said you can't go up there on the podium and take the trophy. Yeah, you can play anybody weird. Else. If they got to the Eastern Conference Finals and they played the Milwaukee Bucks some way, somehow, and the Bucks beat us, you can't go up there and take that trophy.
Yeah. Especially in Cleveland.
I don't know who you could send up there. You
oh,
can't
that
send,
would be
oh, my
so
God.
Bizarre.
There's no way you could. They know that. They know
no,
they couldn't
I,
do something like that.
I do think that. So I saw people, and I was getting texts from some Cavs fans who said they were happy with the Cavs winning, but then they said, enjoy having the team run it back next year with Kobe Altman and JB. First of all, I don't know what's going to happen with JB. I don't know if a playoff series, because we didn't win last year. I don't know if a playoff series is enough to save the jobs of, I think Kobe Altman would be safe. But I don't know about JB. I don't know, and does it matter what
honestly,
would happen against
don't
Boston?
Don't you get the sense that he's gone no matter what?
I did.
Unless they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, then I think that might be a safe lily pad. But other than that,
what if they sweep Orlando or win in five?
Okay.
And then steal a couple of games against Boston in the next round.
I don't want him to get fired. I'd love to make the argument for him, but I just think we're shouting into the ether at this point.
I don't think that JB would get fired after that. I don't.
I just don't want to have a situation where we go halfway through the year next year. Like you either make it, I'll say the same thing with him that I did Hugh, even though I'm sure I like JB a hell of a lot more. If you're going to make a decision, the offseason would be the time to do it. I'm not trying to go a month into the year next year and have a same situation play out. Like when it was rumored that he was supposed to be coaching for his job against the Detroit Pistons in December, for crying out loud. That is not. Come on.
But if you're doing that, if you're waiting until then, don't you already have to have something lined up?
Yeah, but I'm saying that's unfair to him. It's unfair to all of us. Because then if you could say you have something lined up, but what if that falls through? I have to make the decision when I make the decision. So if you're already thinking about it at the end of this year, then the best option for everybody is to do it because then your job's going to be open. Of course, we don't know about Donovan Mitchell's future. That might have something to do with it.
Or you're talking about starting next season and then doing it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I was like, if you make that decision, in next year and we go a month or 2 months into the season, it looks in. I know it ended great when David Blatt got let go and they brought in Ty Lue.
It's a one-time deal.
But they were a 30-11 or 31-10. I forget what the record was. They were 21 games or 20 games above 500. And it felt like things were collapsing when they fired their coach in the middle of the year. And that move kind of justified some of the other moves that have gone by. Like you mentioned the Doc Rivers thing. And I go, well, you saw the way they played right before they fired Adrian Griffin. Like they were playing to get that guy fired.
Yeah.
I don't want that situation for the Cavs. I don't want to see guys walking around there.
Are we going to get any love for game plan from JB?
Well, I thought it was
for
good.
Saturday. Oh, I'm just wondering. I haven't really seen any. And we've all been
hard on JB. I don't want
JB
fired. I'm accepting what I think is going to be a reality.
We have. Oh, there were times this year I thought it was a foregone conclusion. JB would be fired. There might be some feel goods. I know it doesn't, based on our argument earlier today and what I said about fans, I think they could earn some feel good vibes with a dominating performance in this series against the Magic. Hopefully that's the case, and a competitive series against Boston.
Can I say something?
Not what you just said.
I hope so, because I think me and you have stronger opinions on that than anything.
No, not on that. I gotta tell you.
We've been following the Supreme Court cases today. Let's just say that.
It's
a big C-SPAN day.
We're moving on here, folks. We are moving on.
Get cameras in the courtroom already.
I will be critical of a lot of things that go on. There's a couple things I just won't do. I won't encourage you to not buy a ticket, and I won't encourage people to be fired. It's just like, we had Kevin in here, and I met J.B. Bickerstaff once, and we had Stephen Vogt in here. I'm like, why would I ever call for these guys to be fired? Would I be happy if they called for me to be fired? No. The other thing is that, man, I got to tell you, my cousin.
I would love it if a coach wanted one of us fired right now. The next month of radio would be amazing.
There was one in the past, but that's a different story. Not like anybody couldn't guess. I got to tell you, my cousin on a lark took his kid up, and they sat in the 200s. And the reason he went up, Tone, is because of your ticket report.
What?
Of the Market Watch.
What happened?
That said the tickets were so cheap. And he goes, well, I mean, if tickets are so cheap, I'll just take up my son and we'll go up there. And ended up, got a Donovan Mitchell jersey, got the Donovan Mitchell jersey signed in the pregame because they do all that. I go,
how did he get that?
I sent a picture out there and I said, you know what? See what you want to. The people over there at the field house, they're first class, which are some people going, you didn't text anybody. I go, there's nobody for me to text. They don't like me over there. The other places, they like me. They don't like me at that building.
I
can't text anybody over there.
You're loved everywhere.
Okay. Well, there's one place in Gateway I'm not liked, and it's that building. I didn't text anybody. I don't know anybody to text. I don't have any numbers. If I were to text anybody for any sort of a favor, I got to be honest, I'd just text you and ask you to ask for any sort of a favor. And by the way, not all Carmens are related to each other. So my cousin went up, took his son, ended up getting, a Donovan Mitchell signed jersey. He bought the jersey. Then they went down there and got it signed because there's a lot of fan events even before a playoff game. It was all great. And then they saw a win. I go, I've never even been to a playoff game.
Oh, there's nothing. Nothing like it. It is amazing. And yes, I know Daryl was talking about how it's a lot louder. They jack up all the sound. Oh, and you would know more about that.
I know a lot about it.
I know that can be a lot for some people, but if you are into it and you are ready to have a party, that had to be an amazing experience, especially you've been waiting all these years for that opportunity. I know they won one home game last year, right? Game 2.
Game 2 last year.
Against the Knicks. So you got to cherish these. So it's not a ton of them.
Do we want to do another Market Watch then?
We can do it, yes.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
I think after the fees, get in price, Kenny, $43.
That's after fees?
That's after the fees.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I do see one courtside. No, row 2 can be yours, $1,094.
All right, that's not bad.
Oh, on the other side, $5,000.
Wait a minute. Someone's trying to get $5,300. $1,000?
For their courtside
$5,300 for courtside.
But that's right next to the announcers.
Surely you jest.
You are sitting right next to who's doing the game tonight? Kevin Calabro and who else? We had it in the
Brendan Haywood.
Hey,
former Cavalier.
Eastern Motors.
Is it going to be a Cavs homer?
Eastern Motors. Your job's your credit at Eastern Motors.
That was
Ford, Honda, Chevy, Beamer, and Vinny Van. Over 600 cars, trucks, SUVs. Are you listening, man?
Brendan Haywood, who played for the Cavs in the 2014-2015 season.
Get you in a car today. Let Eastern Motors finance it all away. All right, Mitch, please. Here we go.
All right, so we got this video this weekend of Browns quarterback Jameis Winston, who was on The Catch, a sport fishing championship pro-am between fishermen and NFL players. Now, Winston was out at sea in Fort Lauderdale, and two flopping fish came into the boat, and Winston decided to brush up on his post-NFL career skills in journalism. Here, take a listen to this.
Well, we have it, folks. We just cut the line. We have two family members of the tuna. If you were wondering, I asked the question too. Why do fish flap when they're out the water? A wise friend told me that they're just simply trying to swim away. Well, fish, how does it work swimming in the air? They didn't really have a response. Sometimes no response is the best response at all.
You had to see the video to understand how insane this was.
I know. It's they're flopping around. He puts the mic to the fish. I don't know if any fish were harmed.
Are they supposed to throw the fish back, Kenny? You help me out here. When do they do that?
I believe
bring them in to weigh them.
Well, they're
And you do not stuff lead weights into their bellies.
Oh, well, you better not do that.
We need that other voice.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
We need that other voice on the air right now to explain what went down here.
So he puts the microphone up to the fish. Then he explains. There's other clips of him explaining how they're fishing. This is still a fun QB.
I feel like Jameis has
still
been in our lives for 20 years, and then I look and he's 30 years old.
Yep.
There is so much content. What is going to be the next career for Jameis Winston?
Because it's going to be something in entertainment.
Or could he be out there talking in front of a clergy? I mean, I've seen him do that. I've seen him
everywhere.
Well,
he'd be part of a clergy. He'd be talking.
Amazing. This guy.
In front of a congregation.
This guy is incredible in front of a mic at all times.
Yeah.
Didn't he perform a wedding ceremony the day that he signed to the Browns?
I think
he
did.
Or the day before?
Yeah, I think he did. This is just incredible. It is incredible. I'm glad Jameis Winston is here. I'm glad that the Cavs have game two tonight. I'm hoping that the Cavs win tonight. Yes, I am a Cavs fan, no matter what Lima wants to tell everybody. I do want the Cavs to win tonight. You win this game, it'd be nice, and then they got game three coming up, and that'll be probably the last cast for the Orlando Magic. And then if you win that game, then it's green grass and high tides until round two, and then we'll see who we play in round two. But what they do, they buy a little understanding.
I'm telling you, the Magic, a little shell-shocked there early on. So I know they missed a bunch of free throws, and they'll count on those going down, and some of those threes were down and out. I think you jump out to another lead today. That could be it for the series.
Really?
For the Magic.
For the whole series?
That's how important it is to, once again, impose your will.
If we're going to do that, then we just got to.
Yeah.
See how easy that is? Where was that on Friday?
There you go.
You've got 216 Sticks celebrating 10 years, Kenny, at the games. The drummers. Could Red Panda make an appearance tonight?
You know, that Nick Barlage.
If you got enough money.
Would the tickets go up in value?
I'll tell you what. I take back what I said. That Nick Barlage guy's a nice guy. I bet he's okay with me.
He was
me
on
over
Friday.
There. Yeah.
With the Afternoon Boys.
But everybody else, I don't think they like me over there. Ahmad's my buddy.
Come on.
That's about it. Oh, there's a nice person. There's a nice usher named Diana. She's a very nice lady. That's three. All right. Or that, I can't call any favors
Vince
over there.
Carter is not one of those people.
Vince Carter, not. No. No. You know what? I maybe different now because I learned my lesson. He knows I learned my lesson. He said, okay, you knock it off right now, and I knocked it off right then and there. All right, let's go Cavs tonight. All right, let's get it done. Who's joining us tomorrow there?
7:20, Danny Cunningham. 8:20, Sal Palantonio talking draft. And at 9:20, Austin Carr.
Ooh, oh, we got AC.
Tentatively.
Mm. All right, let's get a win tonight. Let's go. Make it 2-0. Let's get a win. For Big Country, for Mitch, for the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, for Jeff, and his wonderful vacation where he was looking at the comic stuff. For the Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lima, I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Go Cavs.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.